Howdy, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. I hope you were able to work on your goals today. And if you're new to the listening to me, I want everybody to move forward in their life. And to do that, you need to set goals. And you need to work on those goals. Now, you're going to fail on occasion. Don't take those failures as anything but a way to learn on how best to work on your goals. Today I got into a conversation with a feller, or woman, I don't know. It's on Reddit. And I ain't been one of them people that's used Reddit a whole bunch. And this one person called me toxic. Now, this person didn't know anything about me. Probably viewed my Reddit and saw the topics that I choose to discuss. And that's the liberal thought process, is that anybody who is more conservative-leaning is toxic. Well, this person asked me my views on things. Well, here's a little bit more clarification on my thoughts on certain things. Because people don't seem to understand why I am not always going to discuss the immigration issue. Yes, there are criminals and terrorists that are coming up through, like, say, our southern border. But there are also folks that have come here from other nations that are not of Hispanic descent that are coming into this country that are here illegally. But a lot of the rules that were made, laws and rules and regulations and all them government fancy terms for what they do, a lot of those rules and regulations and laws and all that was made kind of vague. We ain't really fixed any of them laws and rules and regulations and all that for one simple fact, because there are places in this country where they need workers, and they don't need them all the time. And so you have folks coming up from the border that do that work. So the rules, laws, and regulations were all made extremely vague so that we were able to have those folks come up here because they were cheaper labor. Nancy Pelosi has even made the comment that who are we going to get to work on our farms? And that's the point. These were not set up to make any kind of full sense, and so they're able to skate around some of these situations written by the government, because the government was made to help people, and they did. It made no sense in how they helped people. They wrote it so that one group would be happy. At the same time, they were making it so another group would be happy. At the same time. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it happened that way. It made sense at the time. So, when it comes to immigration, yes, there's a lot of fixes that need to be done. And there's also the problem of that the U.S. and Mexico have had an adversarial atmosphere with each other for a long time. You think I'm joking. The U.S. and Mexico have fought wars against each other. Americans that were in Texas fought wars against the Mexicans. The U.S. and Mexico had multiple times that U.S. troops got involved. You take a look at Pancho Villa and that situation. That was a bad time. That's where Pershing, where General Blackjack Pershing, the man that led our armies in World War I, that's where he got his biggest amount of fame, was dealing with Mexico. And he was even, at one point, he actually had a friendly relationship with Pancho Villa, and then Pancho Villa didn't like something, and he got ornery, and he came over here, and he killed some Americans. That border has always been a bit of contention. You ain't going to solve it easily. You can come up with solutions, but it ain't going to be solved easily because it goes back through history as all kinds of a headache. Where the biggest thing that we need to do is, without forcing our views on Mexico, we need to become friendly with the government of Mexico. Now, we've done some things to become friendly with them, but we still have that animosity that is from generations past, and it's still there in a lot of our dealings. Now, we buy oil from Mexico. We use Mexico to build some of our products because, well, the unions and the government make it too expensive in this country, and the corporate environment the way that it is in this country. They all make it so prices made for American-made goods are, well, they're a little out there. But there really does need to be a conversation between Americans with some common sense and Mexicans with some common sense to fix what is going on. And once you start that process, hey, things may just start getting better. We need to get people that, yes, they may understand history of the whole situation, but they also understand that we need to move forward, not backwards. So, yes, we need to understand all of that to start getting it fixed. Because that's one thing that people just don't seem to understand, that history is remembered in so many places. Even without us knowing it, history is affecting how we interact with one another. Growing up in East Tennessee, there were families that squabbled with each other. They cut each other down. They tried to make sure that the other person didn't succeed, that kind of thing. Well, it's been forgotten by some as to the reason for the squabbling in East Tennessee between these families. Here's what led to the squabbling. It was the Civil War. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are still fighting the Civil War in so many different places in this country that it don't make no sense. East Tennessee during the Civil War actually considered voting to separate from the Confederacy, to separate from the rest of Tennessee. Why? Because most East Tennesseans didn't have slaves. They weren't part of the rich part of the state. They were just good, hard-working people that liked to be left alone. And Civil War came along, and some of the families, much like what happened with the Revolutionary War in some places, but the Civil War came along, and we didn't exactly have a situation in which people saw eye to eye. There was a lot of distrust by the folks that were in different locations, to the point of that there were folks in the Confederacy that didn't trust any army that was coming out of East Tennessee. They didn't trust because there were so many East Tennesseans that didn't want to be part of the Confederacy. So why trust a military force from an area that didn't want to be part of your little collective? And so the families that supported the Confederacy had a problem with the folks that supported the Union, and vice versa. that led to squabbling that still goes on to this day. Now, some of that squabbling's gone away, but not entirely. That's just it, ladies and gentlemen. You need to find out what the squabbling's over, and you need to get people to realize that that squabbling is why we have a lot of the problems that we have today. Because we were educated by our families and by our community to dislike certain things without them knowing and without them telling us why we shouldn't like certain things. Now, okay, if you're a God-fearing Christian, you ain't really wanting to see a whole lot of things given to, say, the LGBT community, because there are all kinds of parts of the Bible that talk about that that's a sin, and the word abomination is used. Now, am I saying that it's not a sin? No. What I'm saying is that we allow all kinds of sin within the church. Do you think that spreading rumors is God's will? Well, I hate to tell you this, folks. You got way too many people within the Christian church that are spreading rumors on somebody else, or they judge somebody else. Oh, that person doesn't dress correctly. Or I saw this person drinking a little bit of beer. Or I saw this person drinking a little bit of shine. Ladies and gentlemen, that ain't what God wants. God wants you to get along with your neighbor. You show your faith by example, not by running, by flapping your jaws. There are folks out there that are good Christians that have no problems talking with somebody who is of the LGBT community. We may not understand your lifestyle choice, but it doesn't mean that we have problems with you, because we treat you like a human being. Thus, going back to Martin Luther King Jr. and the judge people by the content of their content, not by their looks. I know that's not a direct quote, and I know I kind of fumbled that one a little bit, but still, the content of your character is far more necessary, because there are a whole lot of folks that go to church that scare people off from going to church. You have folks that are going through a bad time in their life that may have made some of what they're going through probably from their bad decisions. But when they go to church, they're trying to get God's love. They're told that going to church is part of how you get God's love. Yet, I have been to churches where I didn't feel, not only did I not feel God's love emanating from the congregation, when I listened to the preacher, I definitely did not hear God's love being preached. And that's the problem. But rednecks deal with all of this. We look at it like this. Most rednecks that I know, not white trash, not the highfalutin folks, but rednecks. Most rednecks don't actually care about your skin color. Most rednecks don't actually care what you do in the privacy of your own home. As long as it is not something that, well, we might get a little upset about, you know. Now, I might be a little judgy about somebody that's flying an Alabama flag on their house when I'm in Tennessee, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to have a problem with them. Okay, we're going to have a disagreement when it comes to football season. We're going to have a lot of disagreement when it comes to football season. Now, I might bring up General Nealon's name and the fact that, well, Bear Bryant was never able to beat General Nealon. But those folks are probably still going to work just as hard as me when we're out doing something. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get rid of dealing with folks that don't do any work, that they're about as useful as the old expression goes, tits on a boar hog. And just deal with the people that are willing to work. That's some redneck logic. That's what my grandfather instilled in me. If you're willing to work, I have no problems with you. I don't care what you do. If you're willing to work and you ain't causing me problems, I ain't going to have a problem with you at all. That's redneck logic, whether you like it or not. For those of you who aren't redneck, you don't understand it. You think, oh, you ought to respect people right away. I'll show people respect. But if you ain't showing me respect, why should I show you any? I'll talk with somebody. I like talking with people. I like going, I have gone to a store and started flapping my jaws and been late to what I needed to go do because I was flapping my jaws and they were late because they were flapping their jaws. Rednecks aren't cramming themselves in together. So when we go into a store and we see somebody that we know, we probably ain't seen them in a while. But you take a look at cities. People talk about New York City. Oh, this is a place to go to. I've been to New York City. Y'all got too many people crammed in there together. You wonder why there's crime there. Ain't nobody happy. I mean, yes, there are some that are happy. But for the most part, there are a lot of unhappy people. Why? Because they don't, the human person, while yes, we need contact with other humans, do not need to have that much contact with people. And you think I'm joking. You take some of them folks that just don't fit in New York City. They're violent or whatnot. Now, number one, this new trend of walking up and punching women in the face. Jason Aldean said it perfectly. Try that in a small town. I don't care what your skin color is. You walk up and you punch a woman in the face in my hometown. While there are some guys that ain't all that manly, you're going to have some of us rednecks walk up to you. And the conversation may start out with you getting punched in the face. We ain't necessarily going to call the cops on you. But we ain't going to let it stand that you just punched a woman in the face. And that don't happen in small towns. Try that in a small town and find out. Now, I'm well aware that things have changed in this life. And some small towns have gotten Democratified. But the redneck towns, you ain't doing that. The small towns, folks get along with each other. Even when we don't like you, we'll try to get along with you. I've said hi to people that I didn't like, and they've said hi back, and I knew they didn't like me. Because that's the respectful thing to do. I may not like you, but there's probably a good reason why we don't like each other. But it doesn't mean that we don't respect something about you. I've called people names to their face, and they understood why I called them names to their face. I try not to fight anymore. I'm a little old to be doing that. You get into a fight with me, and no, I'm not going to pull out a firearm, but I ain't going to cotton to you trying to get violent with me. Unless I had one case. I had a situation a few years back where somebody knocked the crap out of my face. It hurt, but I didn't want to lose my job I had at the time. I wish I'd thought about it, but I took the punches. But that was because I was wanting to keep the job. Now, I ain't ever going to do that one again because, well, it just wasn't worth it. But that's the situation we have today. We have, technically, I'm going to be a little pie in the sky here. We have two different types of folks in this country. It ain't Republicans and Democrats. It ain't conservatives and liberals. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Party is not filled with conservatives. Not everybody in the Republican Party comes even close to being small government conservatives. You have city folk and country folk. Seriously. You have the folks that are willing to work to grow their own food. They're willing to work, to go to work, do what they need to do, and they want to come home, and they want to fish, they want to hunt, they want to grow a garden, and they don't want the environment destroyed. And I ain't talking the global warming environment situation. I'm going to leave that where it is. Because somebody brought up with me that he thought Al Gore was a great mind in the Democrat Party. As a Tennessean, I disagree with that statement. Al Gore Sr. may have been a pretty good mind. Actually, he was, I don't know about great, but he was pretty good. Al Gore Jr. is not a great mind. That man has done nothing for the state of Tennessee except just cause annoyance. I think mostly why people voted for him was to make sure he wasn't in the state of Tennessee most of the time. And his wife, those warnings on music disc, on music on CDs and tapes, and I know that some of you younger folks may not understand what I'm talking about, but during the 80s, they had this massive movement, and in the 90s, it was late 80s, early 90s, where you needed to label the music as whether it was had adult material in it. That was Al Gore's wife, Tipper, that caused that. I don't like that kind of attitude. That's the Democrat attitude in the way that I grew up, is that the Democrats wanted to tell you how to live your life. And it weren't always better for you, the way they wanted you to live your life. Now, rednecks get out there, and they want to be left alone. We ain't. Let me tell you something. Just because we run a still and share it with our friends and neighbors, don't mean that we want to deal with you revenuers. Yes, there are still being ran in the state of Tennessee. Matter of fact, there's probably stills ran here in Virginia where I'm living at currently. There are probably stills ran in the hills of Missouri, in Alabama, in the flatlands, in Georgia. There's probably stills all over the south. There's probably stills all over the north. We really don't want to see you revenuers. Why? Because we ain't trying to be big business. We know that the only reason that you're doing what you're doing has nothing to do with the fact that we're making the alcohol. It's the fact that the corporate powers that be told you that they didn't want people buying or getting alcohol that wasn't coming from them. And you're looking at the fact that they're paying all these taxes, and so they get to tell you what to do. We ain't real happy with you folks over that. And that kind of colored our thought process. We already got to deal with the Baptist. And there are some good Baptist folks. Do not think I am trying to cut down all you Baptist folks. But the Baptists have a lot of power within the South. And I ain't got a problem with most Baptists, but too many Baptists together and you folks start to think that you need to tell us how to live our lives. Even when we're going to Baptist church, you go to these churches and these folks are trying to tell you how to live your life. God tells me how to live my life. You don't tell me how to live my life. I've heard Baptists go, there shouldn't be dances. Why not? Now, mind you, I shouldn't be dancing. I am well aware I should not be dancing. I shouldn't sing. I shouldn't dance. I have no ability at all of being able to sing or dance. But it makes no sense why kids can't enjoy a little bit of music. Now, I don't always listen to the same music as everybody else. But you push more people away from church and government when you're telling people, hey, you need to do things this way. When the folks that are doing certain things are not messing with you, are not wanting you to mess with them, we're just living our lives. But you got Baptists, Catholics, American government, state government, local government, all telling you how to live your life when it does nothing for you or life in general. About a decade or so back, they decided in my home county that there needed to be a noise ordinance in the county. Mind you, where I come from, there are dairy farms, there are folks growing cattle that are raising cattle for beef. There are farmers all over the place. So this noise ordinance was set at night. They were told, the county commission was told, before they created this idiotic rule for a very small minority of folks that were moving into the county, they were told before they made this into a law for the county that you were going to have a lot of morons calling because cows and other animals were making too much noise and that it was going to get annoying really quickly. So this law was passed and was set as a law for a month. In that month's time, 911 and the police department were all inundated with folks that were calling because cows were mooing too loudly, dogs were barking too loudly, animals were making a general animal of themselves. So they decided that, yeah, we need to get rid of this here law because it doesn't make any sense. Even though we were told that it didn't make any sense, we're going to get rid of this law that we passed. Because, well, it's showing how much of no common sense that it makes. And that's the case with most laws. Most laws make no sense whatsoever because they're trying to do certain things that for a minority of people. Rarely. I mean, don't get me wrong. Thou shalt not kill is a pretty good way to live. And having a law that says, hey, if you commit murder, you broke the law. We'll decide afterwards to what degree your killing of the other person was. But, yeah, laws like that make kind of make sense. But how they set up the immigration laws in this country really don't make any sense. Seriously, you don't believe me? Go through our immigration laws. After a while, and after you've taken aspirin to deal with your headache, you tell me if we don't need to scrap them all and restart. The laws that are the amount of regulations that businesses deal with, if you got some common sense, read through them. That's part of the problem. Most people seem to lack the idea of common sense. But you actually start reading the laws and regulations set up for businesses, they don't make no sense. Which is why most rednecks don't cotton to government. We do not want people that make no sense on a regular basis telling us what to do. These folks that are all about the climate and everything. I've started hearing people talking about, oh, cow farting is worse than driving a car. Hate to tell you this, but I don't care if your name is Bill Gates. You ain't got a lick of common sense. Now, while I will probably, well, if I could smell, I probably will not appreciate the odor of staying an entire night inside of a barn with a bunch of cows, I'll be alive at the end of it. If I could smell, I probably really would not appreciate all the smells that would be going on in there. You should not lock cows up into a barn. I know people that do that on occasion. And then they want to clean that barn out. If you've ever been around dairy farms, I don't know if any of y'all ever been around dairy farms. I spent a few years of my life. My mother's second husband had a dairy farm. I have had to be the one that cleaned out the dairy barn after they got done with the milking. Usually I did that on, like, say, Saturday. I'd listen to the radio for the University of Tennessee game while cleaning out the barn. And let me tell you, there are all kinds of nauseous stuff. But folks, for some reason, there are folks that are not aware of the fact that all those chemicals that I was cleaning out of that barn are being used inside women's makeup. Okay, it's not just women that wear that makeup nowadays, and there have been makeup for men all for a long time, but makeup uses cow urine. I don't know, other than for fertilizing fields, I don't know about cow manure, but cow urine, there's chemicals in it that are used for makeup. First time I heard that, I was like, yeah, no. I've never really liked it when a woman's wearing a bunch of makeup for that fact. If you're kissing a girl that is wearing makeup, you're kissing cow urine. Yeah, not necessarily something like that. But I bring all that up because you lock yourself into a space, say a garage, with the car, turn that car on, and stay there. Now, unless it's an electric car or one of these new hydrogen fuel cars, let me tell you something. While there are all kinds of risk involved in, from what I have understood about hydrogen fuel, I ain't got a lot of problems with the hydrogen fuel cars. Those actually sound like they might be something interesting. But you stick your head inside of a place with the car, yeah, you're not going to come out of there alive. So, cows, yeah, we need milk for all kinds of recipes and everything. If you don't like drinking it, fine, don't drink it. If you don't like eating beef, don't eat it. But there are folks that do enjoy beef and pork and rabbit and deer, buffalo, salmon. All kinds of folks enjoy all that. Chicken. Let me tell you, you ever been, if you've ever had to be downwind of a chicken farm, that's something else that you'll come out alive, but you'll be wishing that you had a way to pluck your nose. But these environmentalists don't understand that the vast part of the United States is filled with people that ain't wanting their environment to be ruined. I grew up near the Great Smoky Mountains. most visited national park in this country. I don't want to see that destroyed. For that matter, I ain't real happy that so many people have turned good farmland into housing developments. I'd rather see farms. Those farms are doing a whole lot more good than anything else that these city folks, these college-educated people, are doing to help the environment. You take a look at a utility-sized solar power farm. You think I'm joking with you. Take a look at one of these. What it does to the soil is horrendous. It causes you to not be able to use that land to farm. And on top of that, they've got these things set up in such a way that you can't really recycle all that. So you've got this supposedly green situation that is relying on minerals mined out of the earth that are under the control, the vast majority of which are under the control of a tyrannical communist government. Instead of doing the common sense approach, which is putting them on people's houses and letting them deal with their own electricity, so because, well, you can't get the taxes like you can by using utilities, you're taking good land. Well, sometimes it's not good land, but you're taking land and you're covering it with all this stuff. And underneath, the land that's underneath of the photovoltaic cells, that is the fancy non-redneck term for what a solar cell is. Underneath there is heat building up. Because, well, you're taking a surface that is bringing in the sun, that needs the sun. And the sun warms things up, in case you didn't know this. And I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of college-educated individuals that I honestly don't believe understand this fact. And that heat builds up underneath these cells. And while some of it's converted to electricity, some of that heat is going to the ground. And it's constantly going to the ground during the daylight, because the cells don't work at night. That's another negative. And it's hitting the ground, and it's warming up the ground. Well, it's killing the necessary minerals and whatnot to be able to grow plants. You're talking about, oh, I believe in helping the earth and that we need to do all this stuff. Well, it don't really help the earth. Matter of fact, it's killing the earth because you're getting rid of ways to grow plants. You're all worried about carbon dioxide. I keep hearing these people talk about carbon dioxide. Well, you want to know the best way to get rid of carbon dioxide and bring in some oxygen? Plants. Plants need carbon dioxide. I don't know if any of y'all went to biology class. I'm beginning to think that a lot of these greenies, as they like to be called, never went to basic biology class. And they never understood, if they did go, that plants need the ground. They need nutrients that come from the ground. They need water. And they need carbon dioxide. If you get rid of any of those things, guess what? They can't live. And as a byproduct, not only do you get juicy food such as cucumbers, watermelons, tomatoes, okra, all kinds of food like that, not only are you not going to be able to grow good food or grow grass for animals or whatever, you also get oxygen, because while the human species expels carbon dioxide as a waste product. It is technically a waste product coming from our bodies, carbon dioxide. I'm well aware that some of you have more methane coming from your bodies than you do carbon dioxide a lot of times, but that's an entirely different topic. But plants, it almost seems like there was a design put into place where the plants take that carbon dioxide that comes from us and from the atmosphere, because, well, we don't expel all the carbon dioxide, and they turn it into living, and then they expel, as a waste product of their biological processes, they expel oxygen. Seems like there's a cycle going on, like there was an intelligent design there. You seeing my point there? But I have literally heard some of you liberal folks talking about, oh, grass is bad because it takes up water. Really? And their solution is to put down AstroTurf. Well, it may not be the solar cells, but AstroTurf also warms up the dirt that's underneath of it because it's covering up the ground. And that warmth also kills some of the nutrients that are necessary for plant growth. Plants are not bad for the grass is not bad for the environment. You are. And that's some of that redneck logic, because we ain't that stupid. Now, we may not like cutting grass. To be perfectly honest with you, it'd be better if we start using our land to grow food. And that's something. Now, there's a revolutionary thought. You want to be revolutionary in our modern day country? Tell the government to stick it and grow food on your own land. That's revolutionary right there. Corporations do not want us working on our own equipment. You take a look at modern cars. Now, I still understand how an internal combustion system works. But you take a look at these battery-operated cars, even if you can, which, hey, I've worked with electronics, I don't doubt that I can switch out the battery inside of one of these cars. One of these batteries that they put in these fancy cars, on top of the fact of that the chemicals within it, the different chemicals that are used to create the minerals and chemicals and whatnot that are used to create these batteries, come from child labor in foreign countries where we're exploiting your gas-powered car is exploiting foreign countries. It is causing kids to have to work in mines in dangerous conditions. Yes, every battery is that way, but it is far more prevalent because of electric cars than it is because of normal batteries. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole bunch of rednecks that probably get together and want to come up with a different solution than allowing these poor kids to not get a chance at life because we got to have batteries. But then you take a look at the prices of these batteries. One of these batteries is like $20,000+, if not more. Now, I understand why Elon Musk did what he did. He proved that there is a way to make electric cars viable. Doesn't mean that they're necessarily a good thing, but he proved that there is a viable path for them. But at the same time, there is still a need for an internal combustion machine. Elon Musk struck at the right time to do what he needed to do. He saw an opportunity. That's business. That was smart business, because he also has been in other businesses. When he made Tesla, it may not have been the best company in the world, but it got a need taken care of. People wanted electric vehicles, so he granted them. He got them without all the headaches that it comes from transforming a giant or the giants within the internal combustion realm. He created something brand new from the ground up, and that was what was needed. Now, these internal combustion giants, such as Ford and Chrysler and Dodge and all these companies, are finding out that people do not want to have their trucks, certain types of their cars, be electric. It sounds all well and good that a Tesla can go from 0 to 60 in whatever amount of time. It just ain't as fun. Yes, it'll be fun a couple of times, but like the meme has said, it's the difference between grilling a steak and microwaving a steak. You can microwave a steak, but it doesn't mean that you need to or should. If you come up with the viable solution, which I'm going to say this, I honestly believe that the hydrogen system, once they work out the kinks, there are several concerns that I have and other people have as to the safety of the too many of these vehicles going around on the road. I think that might be a viable solution. But right now, there ain't no vehicle that's out there that makes as much sense as the internal combustion machine. Now, that ain't necessarily a good thing, ain't necessarily a bad thing. It just so happens that we're having to develop new technologies so that is not necessarily the case. Because these electric vehicles, when it gets too cold, don't handle it too well. If it gets too hot, these electric vehicles don't handle it too well. So, leave us to our internal combustion machines until you make the right decisions. Leave us to having our fields. Leave us to having our hunting grounds. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you leave us to have our hunting and fishing areas, and we'll be happy. And guess what? We're doing better for the environment than all the city dwellers combined. Because there ain't nothing clean about New York City. L.A., what I've seen of L.A. don't make me cotton to wanting to live there. I've been to Detroit, Chicago. I've lived in Atlanta area. I currently have to live in a city. Ain't none of that, in my opinion, worth dealing with. Because if you live out in the country, especially if you're a redneck, you have a way to grow your own food. You can go out in your backyard, till up part of the land, and you can grow some vegetables. You can plant a tree, and you can have fruit. But when you're living in a city, you can't do a lot of that. Not to mention that there are cities that have gotten upset, and homeowners associations that have gotten upset because people have decided that they want on their own property to grow food-bearing plants. They get upset at this. It don't make no common sense. No, it does not. And that's more the folks telling others what to do that causes rednecks to dislike you. You can call me toxic because I want to live where I can breathe oxygen instead of breathing car fumes and the smells of other people. If I, as a redneck, living out in the country, don't want to see anybody, say for a weekend, say I've got a regular job, but I'm a redneck and I've gotten fed up with everything on the weekend. On the weekends, I can go home, look out my window, and not see a whole bunch of folks. I like that. In the city, you can't do that. In the city, even when you're living in your own place, most of these folks are living in places where other people, no matter what they do, are messing with your life. You can't go outside and take a pee if other people in the house have the bathroom locked up, because somebody will see you, and that's a crime. Out in the country, if I want to take a pee because I don't want somebody I don't want to deal with somebody who's taking up the bathroom, I can go outside and go take a pee. And ain't nobody going to see me doing it. And I ain't going to go to jail for public indecency because I need to take a pee. You folks that are college educated and wanting government to be a certain way, you don't actually seem to understand that the government that you're advocating for is not doing you justice. They're making a whole bunch of laws to make it seem like they're doing something, when ain't none of the laws that they're making are making any sense at the end of the day. Now, I don't want racist in control. Unfortunately, we have that. You know, this whole systematic racism thing. If you have a small government, folks that are doing their job ain't got the time, if they're doing their job, to be racist. They got to do their job and move on to the next task. You complain about the system being racist. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're making it even easier for the system to be racist, because you're creating this environment in which these folks don't have anything to do. All they've got to do is look into your life, and personal prejudices show up, and that's what makes systematic racism. And you saw this with Woodrow Wilson. He started growing the government. And because he was able to grow the government, he was able to segregate the government. The post office was one of the largest departments within the government. And so he got that segregated first. Then he started making the government large, bringing in just white folks and getting rid of the black folks out of the situation. And that is systematic racism. And Mr. Democrat Woodrow Wilson proved how you can do that. And I hate to tell you this, but it ain't a Republican thought process, nor is it a redneck thought process, to do this. Well, okay, there are Republicans. Never mind. Let me quit this Republican thought process. I had a family member the other day talking about thought processes between the Republicans and Democrats. No, it ain't a redneck thought process. Republicans, I don't know what they're thinking 90% of the time, so let me not even... It's not a redneck thought process. We want a government that don't interfere in our lives. And we want a government that makes some sense. And there's some redneck sense. And then there's city sense. And city sense ain't common sense. Why do you want to live that close to people? Why do you want to live in a situation in which contamination can cause the most harm to the most amount of people? I've seen what government can do. You take a look at TBA. You look up, I think it's 2008. Yep, it's 2008. Look at the coal ash spill. Coal ash dam spill. That's some stupidity right there. Now, that speaks poorly for coal plants. It really does. Whether you like it or not, there are problems with every kind of power production. especially when it's utility-sized power production in this country. You either want power or you don't want power. That's the only two options you got. If you want to have electricity, you got to deal with some problems. Nuclear's got its problems. I can tell you all about it. I have told you all about it, but if you ain't listened to that, then tell me and I'll repeat it for you. But there's redneck common sense, and then there's everything else, in my opinion. Are there folks that have some common sense that ain't rednecks? Yes. But far more frequently, rednecks have to deal with the lack of common sense in the world. Because we listen to these city folks tell us how that we need to treat the environment. As a redneck, I know how to treat the environment. If me or my neighbors want to go hunting, we ain't going to pollute the area. We ain't going to be mass chopping down the trees. If we want to go fishing, we don't want TVA dumping coal ash all throughout our swimming spots and all our fishing spots. And we're going to want that water to be pretty clean, unlike Anderson County. Anderson County, Tennessee, is where Oak Ridge, Tennessee is. The pollution that producing the uranium for nuclear weaponry and all of the national lab situations after World War II created a situation in which the folks in Anderson County that go hunting or fishing have to take their animals that they have caught, that they have shot, or the fish that they have caught to the park rangers, or not park rangers, but to the wildlife folks in the area. Not because it's worrisome about poaching, but because the animals and the fish have to be tested to make sure that they're not going to cause you to glow in the dark. Or they're not going to poison you because of the chemicals that the national labs dumped into the earth. Us country folks don't like that. Because hunting and fishing is far more enjoyable when you ain't got run the risk of killing yourself from it. We ain't pulling a Dick Cheney and shooting our hunting companions, unless said hunting companion happened to have done something that they deserve it. But hunting and fishing is an enjoyable pastime. It also puts food on the table. Food that we ain't buying from the store. You can grow your own garden, which means that you ain't having to go to the store for certain things. You can grow blueberries, you can grow strawberries, you can grow watermelons, you can grow okra, you can grow tomatoes, you can grow beans of all variety, and you ain't got to go to the store for these things. You can grow your own apples, your own peaches, your own pecans, however you want to call them, without having to go to the store and giving your hard-earned money to the government through taxes and to the corporations that don't care about you. That's some redneck thinking right there. Being able to grow your own food, not live with somebody right next door to you that can hear everything you do. That's why rednecks are the way that we are. And that's why we need to start getting listened to instead of being considered uneducated idiots. Because I hate to tell you folks, but we may not have all the education from all the schooling you may have. We have an education from life. We have an education that came from our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers. And we use that knowledge every day. We may not understand exactly why we're told to do certain things, like I told you earlier about the situation where certain families in East Tennessee squabble with each other, which is reminiscent as to why Mexico and the U.S. squabble with each other. But when we do these things, we find out that we can provide for ourselves. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is pretty much up. I want to thank you for listening to me. If you enjoyed what you heard, I will have links as to how you can see, you can read some of what I write in the description. You can go to itch.io. Itch is a software site. It's a reputable one. I created a book called The Founding Freedoms Primer. I created it in Twine. I didn't write it like a regular book. I created it in a game design thing called Twine. It's a visual novel software. It creates a visual novel. It ain't the best in the world design in the world, but I was learning from it. But when I got done with it, I had put in there why the Bill of Rights was created in the words. It's more of a compilation than me writing it. You can download it for free. Seriously, you can download it for free. Download it, read it. If you like what you see, or if you are if you would consider giving me money for it. Hey, I did some work for it. I'd kind of like to have some money for it, for my work. I also have a Patreon. It's at FreedomVN, Freedom Victor November, Freedom Visual Novel. That's what it comes from. And if this was the first time listening to me, thank you for being part of Redneck Thinker Community. If you are listening to me on YouTube, I have a YouTube channel now, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that have come along. Comment, like, subscribe even. Tell me what you think. And hopefully I'll provide you with some more entertaining ways. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. Have a good day.